blessing. Amen? I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus washed away my sins, aren't you? Amen. If you want your Bibles this morning, to Luke, turn to Luke. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll be in verse 48 and 49. This is a familiar topic this morning, familiar set of verses. And I want to kind of talk about the medical missions trip a little bit and use that as my introduction to the message this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 48 and 49. Look at verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. Now, what's the context here? Remember, the Mary and Joseph had come to Jerusalem, and as they were leaving, they'd gone a little while, and they looked around, and Jesus wasn't there. And Jesus is 12 years old. He's a boy. And so they began to get concerned. I'm sure, like any other parents, they thought he was with somebody else. But they found out, he's not with Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so. And so they turned around, went back to Jerusalem, and there's where they found him. It says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. Verse 48, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. You know, he was lost. They couldn't find him, or he wasn't lost, but they couldn't find him. You ever lose your kid in a department store or something, you know, JCPenney's? Found out they were inside the clothes rack, you know, inside the, completely covered, playing hide-and-go-seek with you. Again, you know, mom and dad were concerned. They couldn't find him. Verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Didn't you know that I would be about my father's business? Didn't you know that I would be accomplishing my father's business? And so this morning I want to talk about the father's business. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the wonderful week we had in Mexico and seeing so many souls come to the saving knowledge of you. I pray as a church that we would continue about the Father's business. Lord, may you encourage and strengthen us this morning. Lord, may you be the motivator. May your heart be the motivator. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, yesterday we came back from the medical missions trip. We went to Mexico City and there met with the Bradleys and just had a great and wonderful time with them and their church. And got to see 350 or so patients. And then saw 108 get saved. 108 made professions of faith. And that, by the way, that was one-on-one evangelism. That was a counselor talking to one person. And it was amazing to see what God accomplished. It was amazing to see how the Bradleys, his husband and wife team there in Mexico City, and how well they worked together and how hard they worked to see this accomplished. It was great to go to a couple of church planters outside the city of Mexico or the Mexico City and see what they've accomplished. Carlos, and I can't remember the name of the other man, but two church planters who started these two churches and doing such a fantastic job. And it was awesome to see the organization behind the for our team's arrival. They had it organized. They had it put together. They had worked hard and prepped hard. There was a great involvement from the church members. That's what I saw on this trip. Maybe I haven't seen as much of, and at least in a greater way, the church members were heavily involved in the work in Mexico City and then the two church plants. We saw church members doing the work, and of course the pastors as well. But it was good as I asked a couple of them, hey, what do you do for a living? And one young man was a butcher. And I say young, he's probably 35 or so. I said, you're a butcher. And I met his two children who also came to the clinic. And he was a member of the Bradley's church there. He was one of the church planters. He was one of their members. And it was just amazing to ask him questions about his work and what he did. I asked him, do you get vacation time? No. So how many days a week do you work? 6 days a week, off on Sunday. So what hours do you work? 3 to 10. I said, and so you missed today's work to come here and help with the clinic? Yes. Amen. Your kids are here? Yes. And he missed that day of work. He missed that day of pay. And then I was talking to another individual in the church there in Mexico City. I said, how much do you make? And I was a little bit nosy. And I said, what does a typical person make here? What do they do? And he said, well, about $75 a week. I said, how many days do you work? 6 days. How many hours do you work on those days? 12 hours. $75 a week. How would you like to do that? $300 a month. $3,600 a year. And I asked him, I said, do you get any time off? You get paid time off? Nope. So you're here today working, not getting paid, you know, for the day? Nope. No vacation time? No. By the way, I'm not minimizing our group who went, most of the group that went with us had to take vacation time. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful you took your vacation time to go to Mexico City and minister to people. Amen? But I was just talking to these church members and saying, hey, they don't get any, you know, compensation financially for being away from their work. A lot of prep went into the clinic. A lot of work went into the clinic. And it was so great to see, again, not just the church pastor, Brother Bradley or Miss Bradley or whomever, but to see members working one-on-one, that the Bradleys had trained enough men and women who could evangelize and who could lead somebody to the Lord, and to see them sit down just that environment and win people to Jesus. It was just awesome to see. 308. By the way, of those 108 that got saved, I'm sorry, 350 patients, 108 that got saved, many of those individuals who got saved, especially in the Bradley's campaign in that clinic, they knew them. And these were already families they were working with. This was the pharmacy across the street, a family they've been working with. They saw a couple of them saved. You know, a business next door, they saw some saved there. Just people they were already working with, whom they had already, you know, did some planting and did some watering, and then God gave the increase. It was amazing to see that happen. And also, I like it because they knew them already, and so the follow-up's going to be a lot easier with many of these who got saved there in Mexico City. Jesus said to his parents, to Mary and Joseph, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? The Father's business. What is that? When Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, what is the Father's business? What is his business? Well, it's the work of salvation. It's the work of salvation. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What was the primary reason for Jesus coming to earth? Why would he come to mankind? Why would he do all that he did? Because he wanted to see souls saved. He wanted to come. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. In fact, the angel told Mary and Joseph he came that he would come to save his people from their sins. To seek and to save that which is lost. Salvation and the work of salvation is the primary work of the Father, the primary business of the Father. It's a family business given to the Father, given by the Father to the Son. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, those who received Christ as their Savior, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Can I tell you this morning that if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible says you become a child of God. That God is our Heavenly Father. That Jesus Christ is our big brother. Hello? I'm not taking Jesus down a level. He's our big brother. That's what the Bible describes him as. Our Heavenly Father. And what is the business of our Heavenly Father? What is his business? His business is winning souls. It's the seeking to save that which is lost. It's the work of salvation. He is that all men should come to him. As we have said the last couple of years, we understand and know that all of us live busy lives. It's hard to keep our priorities where they ought to be. It's hard to keep our priorities in focus. There's work to be done. I'm talking about work for your family. It's important that you go to your job in the morning, on Monday morning. It's important because I like to eat. And you like to eat, and your kids really like to eat, especially if they're teenagers. Some of us have to, you know, put a lock on your refrigerator with a little padlock, and they still get it open. We all like to eat, right? We like to have a roof over our head. Maybe one that doesn't leak. We like to be able to live, and all the, it's, you know, we have to work. Again, priorities are such in place. Kids and keeping up with our kids, and and keeping our kids active and music lessons and sports and fine arts and all these things that we have to deal with throughout the week, and our house and laundry and cleaning and yard and yard and yard and yard, and springtime is here almost, and yard and weeds and food and insurance. And I was this morning, the Clarks caught me. I was outside on my truck with on the phone with State Farm and was on face some kind of computer link with them. I said, beam me up, Scotty. I didn't know. I said, like, and so I was talking to the insurance agent with my phone and going around my truck taking, and he was just watching the video as I, he said, well, show me this and show me that and show me that. And because I finally turned the hail damage in on my truck from a year and a half ago. You only get 2 years, by the way. So if you want to make a claim on something, you got 2 years. I was waiting up to it's the final month is next month. I got like 30 more days. Right at the finish line. Talk about busy. We're all busy. I just waited till the last minute. Procrastinator is the thief of time. Procrastination is the thief of time. We're all busy. And whether you're dealing with insurance on a Sunday morning, right before Sunday school, or you're dealing with laundry, whatever it may be, we all have busy lives, and sometimes the priorities get out of whack. And as we have talked about the last couple of years, Colossians 3 says, seek those things which are above. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your affections on things above. We must stay focused. Our theme 2 years ago, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12, 2. Philippians 3:13, our theme from last year, but this one thing I do, focusing on Him, pleasing Him. Again, if we focus on Him and stay focused on Him, then all the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Focus on Him. Do the one thing, that is to know Him, to have that personal walk and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do the one thing. Keep Him priority. Set your affection on things above. Seek those things which are above. Make Him the priority, and everything else falls in place. You don't have to please everybody. You just got to please Him, and everything else falls in place. Your priorities fall in place. Our theme this year, Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice, a living, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, that we present our lives to Him. Stewarding life is about presenting our life to Him. Lord, I'm yours with whatever you would have me to do. Lord, my life, my time, my talent, my treasure is yours. Lord, all to please you. Best, by the way, your best life is a life lived for Him. Amen. You want your best life? You want that best life? You want that life of contentment and joy and a life? I love it. Somebody said, man, one of the individuals who got saved, actually is one of our drivers, said, by the way, both of our drivers got saved that were driving our vans. And one of the drivers said, I'm summarizing, he said, man, I want to be happy like y'all are happy. He said, they actually, their business is tourism. They've been doing it for years. I think a dad's been doing it for 30 years or something like that. And the son said, I have never seen a group like this. I've never seen a group like this. You guys are happy all the time. It's weird. No, he didn't say that. It's not weird. Christians ought to be the most happiest people in the world. Amen? Amen. And so, man, it was just so impressed upon him. You want a life? You want your best life? And I'm using that phrase for a reason, because there's another guy who uses that phrase, life. If you want that best life, then live it for Jesus. Live it for Him. Again, as you focus on the Lord, your priorities fall in place. Stewarding life is about, again, glorifying God with your time, your talent, and your treasure. One of the greatest areas in our lives should be that of the Father's business. One of the greatest priorities in our life should be the Father's business. Jesus said to His parents, why do you seek me? Didn't you know that I must be about the Father's business? In John 17, verse 4, Jesus Christ in the upper room, just a few hours before He's been crucified, there in the upper room where they partook of the Lord's Supper, and there in the upper room where He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In that same room, He said to them, and he prayed to the Father, I have finished the work. Amen. That you have sent me to do. And then on the cross, what did he say on the cross? Just a few hours after he said to his Father, Lord, I have finished the work you have sent me to do. Then on the cross, he said, what? It is finished. It is finished. Think about it for a moment. He told his parents, wist you not, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And the other bookend is on the cross when he said, it is finished.
Amen.
The work was completed. The work of Christ was done. Remember that Jesus said he always did those things which pleased his Father. By the way, he was determined to please. He was determined. He said he set his faith to Jerusalem. The disciples tried to discourage him. Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. They're out to get you. Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. He was about his Father's business.
Amen.
He wasn't deterred by trials and tribulations and those things. And he wasn't deterred by knowing that he knew what was fixing to happen. He knew all things. He knew he was about to endure the cross, and yet he went. Jesus reminds his mother and his father. He says, didn't you know that I should be about my what? Joseph wasn't his dad.
Amen.
I think here there's a subtle reminder to his parents that, hey, I must be about my Father's business. He said, my dad is God. God is my dad. God is my father. Joseph was not his dad.
Amen.
Jesus was born of a virgin. The Bible says there in Luke 1:35, the angel Gabriel told Mary, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be the Son of God.
Yep.
Mary knew that. I think, again, here's a subtle reminder to Mary, hey, don't forget, I'm God in the flesh. I'm born of God. And my business is to do the will of the Father, and his will is for me to seek and to save that which is lost, to do the work of salvation. Do we do all that our Father has told us to do? Our Father is God. I'm a child of God, joint heirs with his Son. And we ought to do what the Father asks us to do. Jesus did those things which pleased the Father. We ought to do those things which pleased the Father. He said, I must be about my Father's business, doing the will of the Father, to obey him, to please him. Again, we must be about our Father's business. We must be about the work of salvation. We must be about the work of spreading the gospel, going to Mexico City and giving the gospel to a lost and dying world. I'm thankful we have good missionaries like the Bradleys down there. Brother James and Miss Lori are doing a fantastic job. So impressed by what they're doing. And the souls that were saved this week was only a tip of the iceberg of what can be done and what has been done. The families that are reached around the world. And that, by the way, that was because of your finances, because of your gifts to missions and to medical missions, and because of the teens' willingness to pay their own way, most of them paying their own way, taking their time off and get their vacation time to go and spread the gospel, the good news. I must be about the Father's business. Try not to let Larry do this, but he's going to anyway. The Father's business. I must be about the work of him that sent me. By the way, John chapter 9, Jesus said this. He says, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You understand that? The night is coming. The day is coming, and Jesus Christ will return. And the work will be done. It'll be finished. We must work while it is day. We must work till Jesus comes, right? O land of rest, for thee I sigh. When will the moment come when I shall lay my labor by and rest with him at home? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. Amen?
Amen.
Occupy till I come, he said.
Amen.
Occupy till I come. Be at it. Be at the work. I'm so impressed again with the members of these churches, these three churches, who were at the work, taking time off their work that provided for their family, and worked the work of him that sent him. being about the Father's business. The Father's business. By the way, the Father is a wonderful, loving, benevolent Father. A perfect Father, by the way. A loving Father who gave His Son for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave His only Son for us. God gave His only Son, and He shed His blood for us on Calvary and died on Calvary and was buried. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead in order that we might be rescued from the wrath of God placed upon our sins. In order that we might be rescued from hell, from the penalty of sin. In order that we might be saved, rescued. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved. Maybe you've never experienced being rescued from the wrath of God that's been placed upon your sins. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know that you're saved this morning? Have you ever put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ? Put your faith and trust in Him, His life, His death, and His resurrection? Again, being baptized won't get you to heaven. Being a member of Heritage Baptist Church won't get you to heaven. Being a member of the Lutheran church down the road won't get you to heaven. Being a member of the Methodist church out on 287 doesn't get you to heaven. No. How do we escape hell and have a home in heaven? By placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. His life, His perfect life, His death, His blood that was shed on Calvary, and His glorious and wonderful resurrection. Have you placed your trust in Him? I hope that you have. And if you have, Christian, this morning, then you're a child of God. If you've experienced the love of God by way of His Son's death, burial, and resurrection, then you should be and we should be about the Father's business. We should be about the work of salvation. We should be about pleasing our Heavenly Father and witnessing to others and being the light that Jesus Christ compelled us to be. You are the light of the world. And we're to be that testimony and tell others about the Lord Jesus, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. That word about means engrossed. It means to be absorbed. So we ought to be absorbed in the Father's business. We must. And that's saying it's a necessary. It's a necessity that we be about the Father's business. Amen. Because people are dying and going to hell.
Amen.
Your neighbor, your friends, maybe, your loved ones.
Right.
People in Mexico City. We need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Give them the gospel. We should do so not half-heartedly, but in the spirit and in the energy in which Jesus did. It's so vitally important to be about the Father's business. I'm going to have Brother Kevin come up to the platform. Y'all enjoyed me interviewing Matt the other day. Matt Reed, y'all remember that one? Some of you do, some of you don't. Brother Kevin, you just want to, we'll just stand and do this. Brother Kevin, you got this one? Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Three Stooges, everybody. Okay. Y'all don't remember that with the Three Stooges? Nobody? Okay. I appreciate Miss Linda remembers. Not that we are anything connected to the Three Stooges. No, we would never do that.
Not at all.
I've been Brother Kevin's pastor a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know, 27 years.
27 years.
26, 27 years.
Yep.
I had the opportunity to perform the wedding of him and his wife and all these things. But I've also watched Brother Kevin's business go from a shack on 28th Street to what it is today. And it's amazing to see how God's blessed him. I just want to ask, I want to ask the right question, so I'm going to get my paper. Brother Kevin owns Kalzer Tire, and they don't just do tires, but they also have a mechanic shop, and they have a retread plant and
right.
All these other things. So what is your business's purpose?
To serve the Lord, Brother Crawford.
Hey.
It truly is.
Right.
I wouldn't know where to start.
Who taught you the business?
I learned from my father. Just like we're talking about now, my dad taught me everything I know, and I turned that into, I wanted to impress him more than anything.
Yeah. We all have that in us.
Yeah. And once I realized I impressed my dad, then, 23 years ago, we turned the business completely over to the Lord, and now we just want to impress Him. He's
Amen.
The only one we're worried about now.
Right.
So.
Amen.
I think most of us who know Brother Kevin and his business would can answer this for, but I'm gonna have him answer it. Would you consider your business successful?
Oh, definitely.
You've been in a couple of magazine articles, a couple.
Yeah.
A little bit of clout with Goodyear.
Sure.
And the Lord's blessed you, you know, financially. Number of employees is up in 60s or 70s.
Yeah, we're approaching 85 now.
85 so. Employees. So. Why do you think your business is successful?
Well, just the Lord's got his hand in it. I mean, that's the only explanation.
Right.
That's the only explanation I can give you. It's not from me. And it's, you know, it's not from me or my people. It's we make mistakes up there every day.
So not all tire shops are successful.
No, they're not.
But yours is.
Yeah.
I know of other tire shops that have definitely have started and gone by the wayside since you started.
In 35 years, I've watched a great number of my competitors come and go.
Right. So again, all of us would say, and I know you would especially say that God did it, but what else? I mean, there's a second one that I want to get from you. What else?
Oh, just intense work. A lot of work.
Intense work.
Yes.
There was a lot of energy and effort put into it.
Definitely.
So how many hours do you work personally? About just?
Roughly 60 hours a week.
Okay. How have you grown in your business? In other words, how have you, you know, I know what your dad has done. How did you grow from that to where you are? Who else did you talk to? What else?
Well, I had a number of, I wouldn't say a number. I had a couple of other men that were good, godly men that were in the tire business in Dallas, you know, around North Texas area. And, you know, one of them in particular kind of took me under his wing and helped me learn about what a profit is, you know, learn how to make money, that type of thing. And he actually checked on me. He checked on me for a number of years until I started surpassing him.
Just thinking about getting counsel. You got counsel from others who were doing the work.
Exactly.
And they contributed to helping you grow.
100%.
And nobody builds the business like you've built on your own.
Oh, no. You couldn't do it by yourself if you tried. No.
Right. So again, the business has grown because of the Lord and the Lord blessing you and others.
And he's pointed me to the right people.
Right. Amen. What determines the continued success of your business? And really, there's two things, and I'm going to prompt you that way. Number one is what you've already been saying. Number one is?
Right, yeah, the Lord.
The Lord.
Doing what he wants me to do.
Amen.
Why does God bless your business?
Well, I honestly believe it's because I've kept his promise, you know, I've upheld my half of his promise. I contribute.
Right. Wouldn't you say that the same promise that was given to Matt, is Matt here? Where's Matt at? Matt, when we interviewed him, golly, all the way in the back, you backslider. When I interviewed Matt about his parents and I said, Matt, God's going to bless you because you what? Ephesians says, honor and obey your parents.
Exactly.
And I think, Brother Kevin, you would attest to that God has blessed your business because you honor and you've obeyed him.
Yes.
You've honored him in your giving and in being kind, not just giving to the church that God's put you in, but giving to others. And,
exactly.
And being a blessing to being a lot of people that are here in the audience.
Amen.
There's no other explanation.
The second one, though, is what you just said a while ago. I know we're repeating some of this, but work.
Work.
Hard work. Michelle, would you agree with that? This man works hard. Yeah, and this his employees see him work hard.
Amen.
I've watched, and again, I don't want to embarrass you.
No.
I watched Kevin, as he is now in the position God's put him in, still go out and help in the tire shop. You know, go out and change a tire and just work hard. And I appreciate Brother Kevin. Thank you,
Thank you very much.
Love you.
I love you too.
Amen.
I asked him if I could. I didn't want to embarrass him this morning, but I think the point's been made. Just as I interviewed Matt the other day, and some of y'all said you enjoyed that, so I thought, well, we'll try this as well. And Matt, whom I consider a good young man, who does honor, not perfect, by the way, but honor and obeys his parents, honors and obeys his parents, and God blesses him for it, and God blesses his parents for it. And the same way I watched Brother Kevin over the years, 20-something years now, how God's used him and blessed his business because he honored God Amen. With his time, his talent, his treasure, and then obeyed him, and God blessed him.
Amen.
Now, let's get this, make sure you understand here. Performance-based Christianity is, I have to do this, this, and this in order for the Father to love me. No. I'm glad my Heavenly Father loves me no matter what.
Amen.
I have my dad's in the audience. My dad loves me, and I've messed up plenty of times. You still love me, Dad? Okay. The Heavenly Father loves you in spite of you. The Heavenly Father loves me in spite of me. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Amen.
Amen.
But I will tell you, His blessings are connected to your honoring Him and obeying Him. And when Jesus said, I must be about the Father's business, that same business was passed on to His kid, who then, I said that, to His Son, Jesus Christ, who now is passed on to His children. Jesus said, now you go do the work. The work that I have been given, now you go do the work. And we as Christians to be reminded from time to time, just as Mary was reminded, that our Heavenly Father is God.
Amen.
And that He has given us a business. And that business is to do the work of salvation. By that I mean to spread the gospel, to give the good news, to take a tract and give it to someone, to tell somebody, to invite somebody to church, whatever the case is, to give a missionary offering, to give to the mission fund, and make sure that those in Australia and Africa, South America and Mexico can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We as a church going out this Saturday, we're going to do Saturation Saturday. We're going to pass out a bunch of door knockers. We're going to take these door hangers and put them on doors, even though some people don't like them. But we're going to do it anyway. Put it on doors, let people know, hey, we're having a special Sunday. Come and hear our choir sing. Come and hear the preacher preach the gospel.
Amen.
We want to spread the good news of salvation. We have so many kickoff this week, and not everybody, I understand, can come to the kickoff on Tuesday night or Tuesday morning or Saturday and you, whatever the case may be. But listen, you ought to make it a priority if you're physically able to do that. You ought to make it a priority in your life to witness to your neighbors, to witness to those around you, to those whom God puts you in contact with, to be the witness and to be about the Father's business. I can't encourage you enough as a church that it takes work to do it.
Amen.
We need the blessings of God, yes, but we need deacons who are about the Father's business. We need Sunday school teachers who are about the Father's business. I think we do have that. We need finance team members who are about the Father's business. We need, on and on and I go, choir and ushers and all of us together, working together. I'd love to see the churches there in Mexico working together. By the way, the three churches worked together. Then each individual church did, their members just came. It was amazing. Kind of like what we do during VBS. I love to watch VBS, not just because of what happens at VBS, but I love to see those who volunteer to help in VBS.
Amen.
It takes about 100 volunteers to make that happen. And same thing with the Fall Fest. And I love that our church comes up to bat. Boom. Hits a home run every time. We must be about the Father's business. Every once in a while on a Sunday morning with visitors in the audience, we need to be reminded that we need to be about the Father's business.
Amen.
That is our priority as a church. The purpose of this church is not to provide for you fellowship. The primary purpose of this church is not to provide fellowship. The primary purpose of this church is not to provide you cake and ice cream. The primary purpose of this church is not to provide for you a way in which you can meet people and influence friends. The primary purpose of this church is to win folks to Jesus.
Amen.
To see souls saved and baptized and added to the church. Discipled and trained and taught. That's the primary purpose. I'm thankful we do have fellowships, and that is part of the church's priorities, but it's not the primary. Primary purpose of the church is to evangelize, to baptize those whom get saved, and to disciple them. And we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Again, so impressed with the churches in Mexico and their membership involvement. I just want to remind you that we are where we are at. We have grown to the numbers we're at. We've grown to these buildings we're in, primarily because of God's blessings, because we honor and obey Him. But we honor and obey Him with our work. And it takes work to do it. Let's be about the Father's business. How's your Father's business? If you were to gauge, how am I doing in my Father's business? Is your business successful? Christian, child of God? When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus Christ? When's the last time you gave somebody a tract? And then this morning, do you know the love of Jesus? Do you know, are you a child of God this morning? The greatest decision you'll ever make is to be and to accept Christ as your Savior. To become a child of the King. What a blessing it is. Let's all stand. Hymn 161, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your love for us. And Lord, I pray this morning if there's someone here in the audience or someone watching online who does not know you as their personal Savior, they might get saved today. And Lord, may you strengthen us, enable us, empower us, encourage us, Lord, to be about your business. That we would keep it a priority as a church, but also a priority as individuals, to tell others of the good news of salvation. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.